This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to Sports Saturday, and it's a great Saturday if you're a high school football fan, as we will have the football playoff pairings released tonight at 8 o'clock. We'll have it for you, the road to Champaign, 8 o'clock this evening, right here on WSMI FM 106. And you heard it in the highlight package there. Kyle Dixon, two pick sixes last night as the Cavaliers crushed Greenville 66-0. It was 52-0 at the half as they put the running clock on the Comets. And Carlinville, your South Central Conference champions, their first perfect regular season since 2001. In the process, Chad Easterday picked up career win number 90 as the Cavaliers completed one of the most dominant regular seasons we have seen in a long, long time. They played two state-ranked teams in Pena and Vandalia, hammered both of them, and then a Greenville team last night that was already in the postseason with six wins got absolutely trucked by Carlinville on senior night. And this is a group of seniors for Carlinville, a big group, I think 18 seniors on the roster, all their offensive linemen, seniors, obviously Jared Easterday, Kyle Dixon, Jake Ambuel, all seniors. It's been an awesome group to watch over the last several years as they have enjoyed probably the greatest period of football that a football school like Carlinville has ever seen. Remember, this group was sophomores 2 years ago when they went to the state championship game. Kyle Dixon played big on defense on that squad. And then last year, losing in the state quarterfinals in overtime. And Carl DeVaros mentioned this. When you come into Carlinville, they got a sign, unfinished business. And that relates a lot more than to completing a perfect regular year. They have their eyes on a deep postseason run this year. We'll find out where they're seated, what their draw is going to be. We'll know that all later on this evening with the road to Champaign at 8 o'clock on WSMI FM 106. And I believe we have head coach Chad Easterday on the phone right now. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing good. What a game last night, Chad. And, you know, it was senior night, obviously, so you were involved in the pregame festivities with your son, Jarrett. First, what was that like emotionally for you and your son?
Well, you know, having done it before with my oldest son, Job, I had a little experience with it. But, you know, to be very honest, the quicker it got over for Jarrett, not probably the better it was. Probably not the case for Mom. But, you know, being a coach's son and being the coach, I think that that is an awesome tradition and things that we do. But we really wanted just to get to the game, to be very honest with you.
Well, I commented, I said, I bet Chad at some point saying, come on, Ross, wrap it up. That's enough.
Yeah, you know, we as always, you know, had somebody late or somebody out of order, and Jarrett and I were both kind of chomping at the bit. Yes, we did say that a couple different times. But let's get it over with. Let's go. So,
Chad,
anyway.
That was maybe your most impressive performance of the year in a season with nothing but impressive performances. Greenville is a good football team. They were already in the playoffs last night, and you put a running clock on them in the first half. My gosh.
Yeah, you know, we were very fortunate last night, caught some breaks. I thought our kids did great in all three aspects of the game. I thought defensively, offensively, and especially our special teams really put a tremendous amount of pressure on them, and they never could get rolling a little bit, and they've really had some luck, kind of like us, getting a lead, being able to kind of do what you want, and we had them on their heels. Which obviously helped us.
Yeah, when you recover an onside kick to start the game, you really do have control of your opponent from the outset. And those onside kicks last night, man, those were about as perfect as onside kicks can get with the high bounces.
Well, I tell you what, everyone, I get a lot of calls from a lot of people about, or comments about our special teams. And, you know, everyone asks, are we trying to recover an onside kick? And the answer to that question is maybe. The more of a question is, trying to make them have to field something that's very difficult to practice throughout the week. So that seems to be our goal every week, and I thought Matt Schmidt just did a phenomenal job last night of getting that type of kick in the right spots at the right times. It really kept them on their heels.
And, Chad, we talked about your depth before, but not many schools have depth at kicker, but yet you guys do.
Yeah, we are fortunate. You know, we have Matt Schmidt, who's a soccer player that's been kicking for us for the last couple years. Tucker Hughes can kick, and Believe it or not, it sounds strange, but Jerry Easterday is pretty good at it as well. So we have all three, and then Lonnie Rosentrader has kind of come about the last couple weeks. So it's something we emphasize quite a bit. I won't lie to you guys. We practice it a lot. It's become part of our arsenal, I think, is the best way to put it.
I've said it before. You provide so many problems for teams preparing for you throughout the week. There's not enough hours in the day to prepare for all your offensive weapons, prepare for your quality defense, and then on top of it, the different things you do special teams-wise to make teams prepare. And we see it with your extra points where you shift your line to the left, and you told me before, that is Jarrett. If he gets a certain look, you're going for two. If he doesn't, you come back in for the extra point. I don't know how teams can possibly prepare for all the different things you're making them prepare for.
Well, we try to keep that as much of a secret as possible, but I know it's very difficult. We try to defend it ourselves. We try to be prepared for it. It's kind of like the Virginia Tech Bud Foster. There was an old coach at Illinois that did his special teams, and if you incorporate that as part of your game plan instead of just a play in the game, we feel that it's another thing that you have to scout throughout the week. It's another thing you have to prepare for. And like you said, sometimes when that puzzle gets put together, if it's not all perfectly put together, sometimes it can backfire on you. So we try to put as well. Like I said, pressure is the key in all aspects of the game.
Kyle Dixon last night, I mean, what a phenomenal football player this young man is. I don't know if he's a better offensive player, a better defensive player, a better special teams player. I don't know. But that one-handed interception and run back last night was one of the most spectacular things I've seen.
Well, he amazed me again last night, and we've talked about it several times. He has a real nose for the football, and when we had the opportunity last night, like we do to get up, we're able to disguise some coverages and stuff like that, which we're really, really good at. And when you have Kyle, that makes that even better. And he kind of snuck in there and he didn't see him, and he made a great catch in it. And I'll tell you what, the run afterward was just phenomenal.
And he it's not surprising anymore. And he's just so elusive, and his vision is just incredible. He just is so hard to get on the ground when he's in the open field like that, and he sets the tone for you guys. You have so many guys that set the tone for you, but 9-0 on the regular year, Chad, and I know unfinished business, lots still to do, but I know that was certainly a goal.
Yeah, as we've talked before, I'm a very goal-oriented person. We talk about them all the time. We tell the kids that we want to invite pressure into our world. There's no reason to hide behind it, and this group of seniors has wanted that. That was on their checklist of things that they personally wanted, and on mine too. So there's no reason to hide behind that either. I was very proud of them. They've been level-headed about it. They've accepted the stress level that comes with it, and all the good and bad PR that comes with it, and that type of things. And they've allowed us to coach them in different things. Sometimes they don't always get what they want when they get coached, and they've handled it very maturely. And I think that's a sign of a good football club.
I think that's what you guys certainly have going for you is, even though you maybe haven't been challenge on the scoreboard in really any of your games through four quarters this year, the way that you have approached the season, not running from the pressure, embracing all the different things that have been thrown at you, now as you get into week 10, that's where those lessons really should start to pay dividends.
Man, I sure hope so, because we spent a lot of time talking about it. And we talk about roles, and we talk about what you can do for the team and that sort of thing. And when you get kids and you get, and I just don't mean our senior kids too, that they have set the example. But when that example is set and there's nothing else but to follow that example, then you start to develop this tradition and things that we talk about all the time. And to me, that's what leaving your mark on Carnival football is about. And keeping that tradition going.
And senior night certainly is a little different when you know we plan on being back on this field multiple times. Certainly, you know you will be next week.
Yeah, hopefully, that makes it a little bit easier and that sort of thing when it's not your last one. It also makes it difficult if you happen to end on your home turf too. And that's happened to us as well. But once again, the credit goes to the kids absorbing such a good game plan and. You said it best out of the gate. Greenville's a really good football team, and it would not shock me to see them in the second round of the playoffs playing somebody or playing us, depending on how all this pans out here this evening.
Chad, about the only thing that didn't really work last night was the scoreboard. It got a little spotty, but you guys were on it.
Well, we need to find that electrician who wired it, since you're talking to him. He's got to get that fixed this morning. So You know, we had a little wireless problem last night. I think we just got a transformer issue. We'll get that fixed on Monday.
And, Chad, I know a very neat thing for you tonight. Obviously, we'll be talking to you on our football playoff show. But before you talk to us, you're going to talk to actual professionals, as you will be on the TV side. And that's a great honor.
Yeah, it is. They're going to – it's kind of nice to get that recognition that that the kids have earned. And, you know, it's an honor for me to do those types of things. So, you know, it's about Cardinalville, and it's about Cardinalville High School and that stuff that comes with that. So, you know, hopefully IHSA is not listening. So, you know, it'd be nice if they just come down with some reasonable things, and who knows what they're going to do. And if you and I have talked about that, it is easier with the 1 through 16. I'm very pleased that they went to that format. I think it makes for a better playoff system than the quads, and we'll have to wait and see how it goes.
Absolutely. Just behave yourself on TV tonight, Chad.
I can my wife yelled at me for a couple weeks ago, but I will do my best.
Awesome. Chad, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you tonight, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Cardinalville Cavaliers. And, David, we know, obviously, they're going to either be a one seed. It'll probably depend if Monticello goes north or south. If Monticello goes north, there's no way Cardinalville will not be the one seed in the southern half of the 3A bracket.
Most likely, yeah. I didn't notice a lot of the other unbeaten teams in that general range of enrollment. I'm looking at the Northwest Herald right now. Steve Soucy does a lot of predictions, and he's got every bracket updated this morning except for 3A. He does not have 3A up, so I can't find it.
Interesting.
But 2A, just for a little bit of a preview, he is predicting Staunton will be a 16 seed heading to Illini West, Carthage. So
we'll see. So, of course, Staunton got their win last night, and they have 40 playoff points. So Staunton is going to the postseason. It won't be official until we find out tonight, but with 40 playoff points, they are going. Right now, the best we can figure, David, the cutoff is at 37 playoff points with Alton Marquette, one of the last teams, and looks like Decatur Lutheran going to be one of the first teams out. Now, there are still four Chicago area games that will be played today, and they all have playoff implications. So if all four of the Chicago teams were to win, that could potentially bump Alton Marquette out of the playoffs and bump the playoff point total up to 38. So we won't know that until later today, and we'll find out. But that's when you have these Saturday games in the last week, it makes it interesting.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll keep you updated here on other predictions, because we can't find anything out till tonight, so it's fun to speculate.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's my funnest day of the high school, certainly football season, and maybe just of high school sports in general this day, because football, like we talked about and everyone knows, it's different than all the other sports. You have to earn your way in to the playoffs, and we'll have all the watch parties tonight, teams waiting to figure out where they're going to go, what's their seed going to be. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have the Road to Champaign for you live tonight, 8 o'clock, right here on WQSMI FM 106. We need a break. Back in a moment.
Before I knock the mic completely off the stand, it's time now to say we are back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Couple of games last night with playoff implications. Jersey was 4-4 on the road at number 8, Columbia, in 4A. Jersey got the win, 36-28. So Jersey got playoff eligible. It gives them 40 playoff points, so Jersey is going to make the postseason after knocking off a state-ranked team on the road in a gots-to-win situation in Week 9. Congratulations to the Panthers. Auburn needed a win over top-ranked Moreau Forsyth in 2A. It did not happen. Moreau Forsyth beat Auburn 45-13. So for the first time since 1996, the last time Auburn was not in the playoffs. Pleasant Plains, they clinched their playoff spot last night. They entered 5-3. They beat Pittsfield 62-18. So Plains is into the postseason 1 year after playing for the state championship. Nokomis had to win to get playoff eligible. They did. They beat Pawnee 49-28. However, with just 31 playoff points, Nokomis is going to be left out. Mentioned Alton Marquette. They were 4-4, survived a scare from South Fork 28-20. Marquette's 5-4. They are right on that line with 37 playoff points. So Alton Marquette certainly hoping that those Chicago area games go their way later on today. As by our projections, Alton Marquette is the second to last team in the postseason right now. Decatur Lutheran, they entered 4-4 on the night. They got a win as they beat Martinsville 48-7. They became playoff eligible. They have 37 playoff points, but by our calculations here, they're going to be the first team out of the postseason. Multiple teams with 37 playoff points, and then it goes to defeated opponents' wins as the quote-unquote tiebreaker, and Decatur Lutheran comes up a little short there. So we'll wait and see. It's always fun on this Saturday with the Road to Champaign coming up at 8 o'clock on FM 106. And joining us right now is Hillsborough head coach Aaron Duff. Good morning, Duffy.
Morning. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing all right. And unfortunately for your Toppers, you will not be able to have that watch party tonight and find out where you're going. And now that the season is over, I would imagine those series of close games, now they really start to wear on you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you think about, you know, I've been thinking about it all night and this morning, you know, three or four plays, and we'd be joining it tonight, but can't say how you know, proud I am of our kids and all the hard work and things they did for us, you know, all our seniors for the past 4 years. They did go out on a good note last night, so very happy for them how they ended their career.
Duffy, it is wild that all the hours you put in going back to the summer, the blood, sweat, and tears, and essentially, yeah, your season came down to three plays.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's the way it can happen. You know, we just couldn't get that one bounce our way. But, you know, like I said, we competed, and we never quit. You know, adversity shows up, and you see how you react to it, and our kids kept fighting, so very proud of them.
And you guys were nothing but a class act last night, of course, the Route 16 rivalry with the Litchfield Purple Panthers, and with Litchfield having the tragedy a week ago with the passing of 19-year-old Leighton Piesold. Duffy, you guys stepped up in a big way. Just tell us about what you guys did for the people in Litchfield.
I mean, a couple of the parents, you know, we had a banner made for them, you know, and I had that up. You know, I talked to Coach Priddle about, you know, praying after the game and things like that. You know, that, there's a lot more important things in high school football sometimes in life, and you know, I hope our kids realize that's another lesson you learn. Just, you know, through sports, there's more than, you know, just a game going on. So, you know, I'm proud of our kids and how they reacted to it and everything.
And you know, sometimes, you know, that gets said a lot, that there's more important things in football, and obviously there is. Sometimes it just kind of gets lost maybe in the shuffle of a hectic season. But last night, it really does put life into perspective in a major way.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, and it's good for kids to see that. You know, trust me, if we want to be in the playoffs, we want to win those games. You know, that's still on our minds, but, you know, for kids to see, you know, the other things and learn those lessons now is a real, real important thing.
Duffy, as you sit back now, your season obviously is over. We talked about, you know, just a three or four plays here and there, and it could have been totally different, but you kind of touched on it. There was no quit in your team, and there's never been any quit in the Hillsborough Hilltoppers, whether it was Rich Stewart coaching, Aaron Duff coaching. That's kind of been a staple of Hillsborough kids for a long, long time. They're never going to quit.
Yeah, yeah, you know, we got kids that you know, are tough and will play hard. I'm going to bring up the alumni game we had the other night with Greenville. Our kids were all on the sideline watching it, and they were like, wow, these guys can play. You know, it was an eye-opener for them, too. So it was a good thing for them to see former players come in and see how they play and how physical they were. Yeah, you know, our kids all season long came out every practice, even after a tough loss, you know, those, you know, three games we lost by a touchdown. And kept working. So really, really happy for those guys.
Yeah, that alumni game, that was tackle, right?
I'm telling you, it was a physical ball game. It was real football. They had me call plays for them, and, you know, it was actually intense.
That is such a neat concept. I remember we had one of the organizers out talking about that several months back, and I said, that's not going to be tackle, is it? Oh, yeah, it is.
It was full special teams, full IHSA rules. And there were some shots out there.
Who won?
Hillsborough beat Greenville 20-6, but it was a 6-6 ball game going into the fourth quarter. The company that ran it did a great job and said that we were the best game they've seen in the past 3 years. They said there was actual defense being played.
It wasn't like the Pro Bowl then.
Right. No, it was, I'm telling you, there were some shots out there.
That's good stuff. Is that going to become an annual thing, you suspect, or was this a one-off?
Our alumni are wanting to do that. They donated a lot of money to the alumni from that. They gave, you know, me for the high school program, like $2,500 and I think another $1,500 or $1,000 to our JFL program from fundraising from it. So, they want to try to get that as an annual thing and maybe, invite other teams to try to do it.
Oh, that's great. That is fantastic. And Duffy, as we spin your football program into next year, you're losing some really good seniors, but as you look at what you have coming back, what are your expectations for your team next year as you get into your off-season program here in a few months or weeks?
Well, we got some kids that got some experience this year, which is really good. Experience is a big thing. We're probably going to be a little young again, though. I hate to say that. We do lose another, you know, a few seniors out there that really, really helped us and played past several years. We're going to make some changes. We've already talked how we're going to run summer, you know, and things like that, things that we think we have to change. And we're going to, you know, try to get back to the playoffs. That's our goal.
Absolutely. Aaron Duff, thank you so much for time all season long, sir. You're a class act, and enjoy your off season, however short it may be.
Right. Thanks a lot, and we appreciate you guys doing everything you guys do for sports and for all the kids. Thank you.
All right. Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsborough Hilltoppers, an absolute class act. And David, that was a really special, neat thing that Hillsborough did last night for Leighton Piesold.
It was, and even though these two can be pretty heated rivals at times, Litchfield and Hillsborough, it was good to see them. Great to see them come together, and I don't think anybody expected anything less.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. When you have class in charge of your operation, those are the types of things that you get from the Hillsborough perspective.
Absolutely.
Do we need to take a break here, or are we rolling on?
We should take a break.
Okay,
yes, we're going to
take a break. We're hopeful that we'll catch up with Zachary Ferguson, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs, as Staunton beat Roxana last night 28-6 to get playoff eligible. Big win for the Bulldogs, and with 40 playoff points, we know they're headed to the postseason. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Playoff pairing day as we count down till 8 o'clock tonight, the road to Champaign here on WSMI FM 106. It looks like Staunton will probably go 2A. Carlinville should be soundly in 3A. The question is, how far will Staunton travel in week one? The other question is, will Carlinville be the top seed in the southern half of the bracket in 3A? Game last night that had seeding implications in the South Central Conference, Pena beat Vandalia 42-27. So the Pena Panthers finish at 8-1 on the year. Vandalia finishes at 7-2. And with that loss last night, that most likely means Vandalia will hit the road in week one of the playoffs. We'll wait and see, obviously, but at 7-2, probably a good chance that Vandalia winds up on the road. And with Pena getting the win to go to 8-1, they very well might wind up with a home game. And I say might because we've seen 8-1 teams go on the road in the first week of the playoffs. It just flat out depends on how the class works out and all the different variables with that. Pena has been ranked in the 2A poll all year, and in a moment, David will look and see if the projections had Pena in 2A this year, if they had them bumped up to 3A. 2A, David tells me. So the Pena Panthers most likely will go 2A here in the postseason coming up. As we look at some other scores from the Sangamo Conference, told you about Moreau Forsyth beating Auburn. North Mac blanked Riverton 61-0. Williamsville over Porta 43-6. Athens finishes at 7-2. They beat New Berlin 41-14. And the Central State 8, Rochester beat Chatham Glenwood 31-14. SHG over Decatur MacArthur 38-13. Springfield High got not playoff eligible. They clinched their playoff spot with a shutout win over Jacksonville 41-0. In the Central Illinois Conference, St. Teresa crushed Shelbyville 63-8. Tuscola over Macon Meridian 52-3. In non-conference play, told you about Jersey upsetting Columbia on the road. Beardstown beat Greenfield Northwestern 35-12. Camp Point Central over Carrollton 40-32. Concord Triopia beat Calhoun 41-15. Jacksonville Rout over West Central 41-7. Rout needed the win to get playoff eligible, and with 42 playoff points, Jacksonville route will be headed to the postseason. Minden Unity beat Pleasant Hill 63-18. North Green over Brown County 24-12. Taylorville beat Civic Memorial 42-12. Taylorville completes their perfect regular year. Highland also goes unbeaten on the regular season. They beat Charleston 54-7. Mount Zion beat Triad 19-15. Breeze Modern Day over Waterloo 55-27. Effingham bested Carterville 46-26. Freeburg over Lincoln 48-27. Mahomet Seymour beat Macomb 20-13. Mattoon over Marion 26-23. Muskuta beat Centralia 59-2. Heron topped Bree Central 34-24. Carlisle blanked Pinckneyville 40-0. Argenta Orienta beat Oblong 64-10. Arcola over Oakland Tri-County 44-12. Toledo Cumberland beat Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond 35-7. And Decatur Lutheran beat Martinsville 48-7. With the win, Decatur Lutheran becomes playoff eligible at 5-4. But David, we mentioned, I think in our last segment, that right now as it stands, it looks like Decatur Lutheran will be the first team out.
What's their playoff points?
37.
37. It sounds like, according to this Steve Susi guy, who's an expert, he says 38 is going to be the cutoff.
38 is going to, yeah. So, see, and that's the deal with these Chicago teams. If all these Chicago teams win, that would bump it up to 38, and I think then Zion Benton would be the last team in.
Yeah, and he also, were you talking about Pena, where they were going to be at? See, he's got them into as a 5 seed hosting Tri-Valley.
Really?
Yeah. That'd be a tough matchup.
That's a tough first-round game.
That is a very tough first-round game.
And remember
if they win, playing probably Tuscola.
Oh, boy. Congratulations on your postseason.
Yeah. Good for you finishing 8-1. Now play two of the toughest teams in the state. And
that's exactly right. So it's always fun when you get these projections right now. We'll know for certain tonight, Road to Champaign, 8 o'clock, here on WSMI FM 106. The Bulldogs had to win last night. They were in Roxana, and Staunton got it done 28-6. With the win, they become playoff eligible at 5-4. They have 40 playoff points, and joining us on the phone right now is head coach Zachary Ferguson. Good morning, coach.
Morning.
Well, that had to be one glorious bus ride home for Roxana last night.
Yeah, I mean, we got... And they are. They definitely play very well, and, you know, we did too. We came out of there with our fifth win, and our kids were really excited about that. And, you know, yeah, it was definitely a fun bus ride home, and, you know, we're excited to see where we end up tonight.
Absolutely, and with 40 playoff points, I mean, we know that you're in. There's never been a 40-point playoff team, I don't believe, that has never gotten in. And you're soundly in the playoffs. So with that in mind, just what are the emotions that you're feeling knowing, hey, we played in a tough league this year, we battled through, and we accomplished our goal?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely excited for the opportunity. I mean, yeah, our conference, you know, when you're sending five teams to the playoffs almost every year, you know your conference is preparing you very well for the playoffs, and, you know, we're looking forward to actually, but we're also looking forward to playing a different team, you know, a team that we don't know, and, you know, they don't know much about us, and, you know, I think our conference has prepared us well for, you know, any team we play just based on the different schemes and talent levels and, you know, different challenges that we've faced through the year, and so I feel pretty good about, you know, our chances and of at least competing against, you know, a good seed and, you know, maybe coming out with a win.
We had you on the radio last week against Carlinville, and I thought in that first half, I thought you guys played Carlinville about as tough as any team I had seen throughout the year. That first half, you put more consistent pressure on Jared East today, and I would, even though you lost, it ended up being 42-0, but I thought at the half, you guys were, in a lot of ways, taking it to Carlinville better than anybody had.
Well, you know, we definitely felt like our kids played very well. They played hard. I think we sacked him twice, and that was the first time he'd been sacked all year. We got some hits on him, that, you know, yeah, you're right. I mean, other teams weren't able to get to him, and we felt, you know, we had a good scheme. We felt like going in on how to get a little pressure to him and how to defend him. And, you know, they're a really, really, really talented team. And, you know, I mean, but our kids, they executed pretty well. You know, 21-0 in the first half. I think that's the lowest score they've had all year. You know, and I think we made them earn everything that they got, and, you know, they're good enough of a team that they did earn it, and they finished, but, you know, we didn't give up hardly any big plays, so I was actually very pleased with our effort, and I thought that we played them very tough and very well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Coach, as you look at your team now, obviously getting ready for Week 10, but where has been your greatest improvement maybe from Week 1 as you get to go into the playoffs now?
Probably, honestly, our, you know, Week 1 and Week, I felt like the first probably 3 or 4 weeks of the season we were relying on a lot of big plays to get points. The last, you know, against Roxana, against Gillespie, we had a lot of long drives. Like last night, our first drive was, you know, 10 plays, 60 yards. You know, we were able to drive the ball, you know, do what we wanted to do, but didn't have to rely on the big plays to score. And I think that's where we improved the most on, from Week 1 to Week 9, because before it was, you know, 3 and out, and then we had to punt, or it was first down, second down, and we had a big play. So it was nice. It's nice to see the kids actually finishing their drives, starting their drives, and getting first downs and chewing up a little bit of the clock.
And, you know, yeah, big plays are great, but football in a lot of ways is still built on controlling the football. And when you can have those long drives, that can just wear a team down.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't worry too much about possession time, but I do like to see us drive the ball. I like, you know, as you said, it does wear teams down, and also, you know, sometimes, you know, when teams can't get you off the field, it can kind of be demoralizing for them. So, you know, I definitely feel like long drives, consistently, you know, long drives and doing what you want to do instead of relying on somebody making a big play, I think that's the key to success.
Absolutely. Coach, who have been some of your key leaders and contributors this year for the Bulldogs?
Well, Drew Mullinax, he's been our number one running back. He's right around 1,000 yards right now. Of course, Griffin, Tyler Granadier, Cody Castaldi, they've been our skill guys we've been going to. You know, Kyle Favor does a lot of blocking for us, a lot of dirty work. And then up front, Dave, our line has, you know, improved every week, so I've been pretty, very pleased with our line. And then defensively, you know, we got Ryan Best and all those guys I just said basically playing both sides. So, I mean, you're looking at a good core group, and, you know, Griff's there, and he's, you know, doing what Griffin does and trying to be a good leader and being a good teammate and doing the things we ask of him.
And he's a kid, he's played a lot of football for Staunton.
Yeah, I mean, he just finished up his third full regular season as, you know, starter at Staunton. So, you know, he's, you know, last night he made some good throws that we needed him to make, and, you know, his composure has been pretty good, and, you know, we always kind of look for him to kind of get the offense going and set the tone on what we need to do.
What are your plans for tonight? Will you have a team watch party?
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna come in at 6 o'clock, and we're gonna have our, you know, we're gonna do our normal watch film from the, you know, last night, and then go out and do some running, and then come back in, and then we're gonna have some pizza for the kids, and then hopefully about 8:30 we know who we get.
Yeah, it's good to do the running before the pizza.
Yeah, exactly. They gotta earn it.
Coach, congratulations on the playoff berth, and we will talk to you tonight, sir, on the road to Champaign.
Thank you.
All right, Zachary Ferguson, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs. And, David, Terry Toad has always said it, we like it when Staunton is good.
Yeah, we do. We do. And it's been the last time they were in the postseason, they made a bit of a deep run.
A little bit of one. That's exactly
far.
Right.
Won a couple games.
They were 5-4 that year, too.
Yes, they were.
And, you know, just Staunton has that, I don't know, pedigree might be too strong of a word, but they have a history of being 5-4 or being on the road in the first round of the playoffs and winning.
Yeah. Well, history's on their side.
Yes, it is.
That's a good thing to have. Hey, I have the 3A predictions here.
Oh,
would you like to hear them? Carlinville is predicted to be the top seed in the South bracket.
Yes.
To host St. Joe Ogden.
Oh, boy.
That's a tough first-round matchup.
That's interesting.
Probably a Saturday game, if that comes true. I mean, unless St. Joe Ogden wants to agree to travel two and a half hours.
That'll be a Saturday game.
Yeah. Do you want to go to Anna Jonesboro?
Do I? Well, I was just there last year.
Well, you might get to go again this year, because Anna Jonesboro is a 9 seed, playing the 8th seeded West Frankfort. So if Carlinville wins and Anna Jonesboro wins, you're going to Anna Jonesboro in the second round. Pleasant Plains is a 13 seed, potential third round matchup. They are at Farmington if they can get past them. Greenville gets the, well, I'm saying that these are gospel. These are the predictions.
Right.
Again, this is not set in stone until tonight. But Greenville is a 12 seed at Beardstown, who's the 5 seed to be predicted. Wood River got a 15 seed. I was a bit surprised just because I know the Prairie State's down. I know they're a 6-3 team. I thought winning the conference championship bumped you up a little bit.
Yeah. Perhaps it did bump them up a little bit, David.
No, because St. Joe Ogden is a 5-4 team, so it didn't bump them up at all.
Yeah, see, we had this conversation earlier a couple days ago, and you were talking about that, and I wasn't buying necessarily what was being sold with that in terms of the conference championship maybe carrying more weight in that situation.
I thought I remember seeing on the website it is a tiebreaker at some point, but they might have had fewer playoff points than... I know they had fewer playoff points than Greenville.
And that's the problem. The Prairie State was not good this year.
No, it was not. No, it was not. Another South Central team, Vandalia, predicted to be a 7 seed, so they'll have a home game, if that holds true, hosting Paxton. Could have a quarterfinal run, because they would... If these seeds hold true, it looks like they would face the winner of East Alton Wood River and Fairfield... And Fairfield gets a 2 seed. I don't know the last time they've won a playoff game.
Been a while.
Sometime, for whatever reason, every year, Fairfield gets a top seed because they go unbeaten or one loss and then lose in the first round.
There's always those teams, David, that are the Fairfields where they'll go 9-0 and get bumped off. And then on the flip side, there's those 5-4 teams that make a deep playoff run.
Monticello's a 3 seed. Did they lose?
3 seed in the South?
Yeah.
Who's the 2 seed?
Fairfield. Carlinville's 1. Carlinville's predicted 1. Fairfield 2. Monticello 3. Again, these are just predictions.
I have to look it up. I actually didn't look up the Monticello score this morning. I should have. That's a fail on my part.
Why look it up? Because that doesn't make a lot of sense. Because isn't Monticello ranked?
They were ranked 2nd.
Yeah, so...
No, they were ranked 4th. McNamara was ranked. See, and that's the key right there. We knew IC Catholic was going up to 4A because of the success. Is Bishop
McNamara
in 4A?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's good.
He's got
McNamara
in 4A.
So that means that
the South is pretty tough, it looks like. I mean,
but
it's
a
favorable
school path.
Yes. There's not a private school in the southern portion. In the predictions, again, I can't stress this enough. This is just predictions.
Right.
Let me look at the North half.
We know Byron's the top seed up
Byron's
there.
Byron's top seed.
They've been number 1 of 3A all year long.
Urban Prep Englewood, is that a private school?
That's the Chicago school.
That might be one. I think there might be one private school predicted to be in 3A.
That's the way it should be.
I don't see...
It just happened to work out that way, but that's the way that it should be.
Could be wrong, but I don't see any in these predictions. Again, I'm going to beat this horse until it's dead.
Whoa.
I don't see... These are predictions. I don't see any really private schools in 3A. Unless Urban Prep Englewood is a private school, I don't know.
That's irrelevant, though. We don't care about that.
Yeah. Well, they're 14 seed, too, so.
This is good.
Yeah.
This is good.
But, I mean.
St. Joe Ogden, if Cromville gets St. Joe Ogden in the first round, that is tough. Now, these are different teams. Every year is different, but Jared Easterday's freshman year when he was starting quarterback, Cromville went to St. Joe Ogden.
Potentially tough two. In the second round. Tough first two rounds for Cromville, I think. Tougher than normal, just because. I don't know much about West Frankfort, but to host St. Joe Ogden, that's going to be tough regardless of where you're playing. If you have to go to Anna Jonesboro, that could be tough, too.
It's a haul.
Yeah.
It's a haul.
And then a potential rematch. Well, Pleasant Plains is a 13 seed, so who knows, but...
Yeah, we can't get that far out.
Yeah.
See, if Carlinville would have beat Plains last year, they would have gone to Anna Jonesboro for the state semifinal.
Yeah, would they have?
They would have, yeah, because Plains ended up hosting them.
Okay.
So it very interesting. And like David said, all projections, all conjecture.
Williamsville also
point.
In the southern portion of the bracket. They get a 6 seed at 8-1 hosting DuCoin as predicted. Predicted to host DuCoin.
Interesting.
It's
going to be so much fun.
It could be a fun southern bracket in 3A.
The 3A playoffs as a whole just sound fantastic.
Yeah, they do. The southern, as a whole, it looks really, really good. The 3A bracket looks, I mean, you could pick a name out of a hat.
Pull it up.
This is me not being fair to Fairfield, but outside of Fairfield and Wood River, I mean, pick any other name out of a hat, and I wouldn't be surprised if they went to the championship game.
Gonna be a lot of fun. Well, no, for sure, 8 o'clock tonight, the road to Champaign, here on WQSMI FM 106. We need a break. Back in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. We've had some fun here this morning with the projections of the football postseason.
And that's something I just now noticed, too. We were talking about 7-2 gets you a road game in the first round, but Vandalia, and again, it's just projection, but Vandalia is predicted to host a game at a 7 seed. It's all divided into enrollment, so it's certainly possible. It'll just depend on how 3A falls.
Yeah, it's different every year. The playoff point total is different every year. The seedings are different, obviously, every year. And sometimes it's all last year. 8-1 gets you on the road. It just depends how many 5-4 teams there are, how many 8-1 teams there are. Just we'll know for sure tonight, 8 o'clock, the road to Champaign, here on WQSMI FM 106. Obviously, it's been a football centric day so far, and that will continue until we get to the road to Champaign tonight, but it's also soccer sectional championship day, and in Raymond today at Terry Tote RHSA Field, Lincolnwood will host the 1A sectional at 11 o'clock. Riverton will take on Quincy Notre Dame at 1 o'clock at Belleville Altoff. It'll be Altoff Catholic facing Father McGivney. That Altoff sectional will feed into the Lincolnwood Super Sectional. So Lincolnwood has a sectional final and a super sectional here in 2018. So that'll be a lot of fun at Terry Tote RHSA Field in Raymond. Other 1A sectional soccer championships today. St. Teresa takes on Judah Christian in Champaign. That's an 11 o'clock start. At Chillicothe, Illinois Valley Central at 11 o'clock. Earlville faces Mendota. At Elmhurst, IC Catholic at 11 o'clock. It'll be Chicago University against Chicago RCO Soto. And then at 3 o'clock, at Genoa Kingston, Rockford Christian faces Elgin St. Edward. 2A regional championship soccer today in Bethalto at 11 o'clock. Alton Marquette faces Columbia. In Rochester at 11 o'clock, the Rockets will take on Springfield High. And in Champaign at Centennial, it'll be Mattoon against Muhammad Seymour. That will begin at 1 o'clock. And in Effingham, Marion against Carterville. That'll be an 11 o'clock start. And one 3A regional championship of note in Collinsville today. The Cahawks will take on Quincy. That match set to begin at 3 o'clock. It is the final day of the volleyball regular season, and Pawnee is hosting their tournament. We have Pawnee and Taylorville, Auburn and Lincolnwood. They played earlier this morning. Those matches should be concluded. And then at 9:15, so they've been underway for about 45 minutes, Porta and Murfreesboro, Macon Meridian, and Nokomis. Coming up at 10:15 this morning, Nokomis will take on Lincolnwood and Pawnee will face Porta. Those are the 10:15 games. At 11:15, Auburn against Macon Meridian and Murfreesboro against Taylorville. At 12:15, Auburn takes on Nokomis. Pawnee will face Murfreesboro. And at 1:15, Taylorville and Porta, and also Lincolnwood and Macon Meridian. Then they get into their cross pool play at 2:15 with the championship match set for 5:15 this evening. Volleyball regionals begin on Monday. So this is a busy time of the year. And David, of course, last Saturday was the state golf tournament. Hillsborough came in third. And congratulations on a phenomenal season. And what I'm about to say is probably going to sound silly, but in some ways, I think Hillsborough is disappointed in a third place finish. Remember, they got second last year, but the state champions this year, Effingham St. Anthony, that's who Hillsborough beat in the sectional. They beat them in several matches this year. And it was just one of those days. Golf happened, as you would say. Just, it wasn't Hillsborough's day. And I think looking back on it now, getting cut down from a 36-hole event to an 18-hole event, I think probably hurt Hillsborough because of their depth and overall talent. It became a sprint, and it was just a situation where too many double bogeys is the best I could figure as I followed it online and was watching the scores. Just a lot more double bogeys than you are accustomed to see the Hillsborough players put up. But nonetheless, when you finish third in state, you had a phenomenal year. But I would think probably just maybe just a tinge of disappointment from Hillsborough. Finished second last year, had eyes on the state championship this year. And the fact that a team they beat in the sectional winds up state champs, that becomes a bitter pill.
Yeah, that leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And it, like you said, it just could have been a bad day. Everybody has bad days. So
especially in golf.
It's the wrong time to have a bad day.
It happens.
Yeah,
it happens. But the good news is they've got everybody coming back next year to the Hillsborough Hilltoppers.
So you're saying they might be hungry?
I'm thinking they got a chance. Hmm. You know, that's been Carlinville's mantra all year, unfinished business. Now the Hillsborough golf team will have unfinished business going in to next season. And of course, the road to Champaign tonight, 8 o'clock right here on FM 106. And David, I will be fascinated to see how close those projections wind up being. They had Carlinville hosting St. Joe Ogden in 3A. Had Staunton going where in the opening round?
Carthage Illini West. Staunton as the 16 seed.
Yeah.
As Carlinville as the top seed in the South bracket. If these predictions are mostly true, you'd almost rather be the 2 seed or 3 seed if you're Carlinville, because then if you're the 2 seed, you got a potential matchup against Vandalia in the second round before playing Monticello or Newton or Williamsville in the third round. The third round would be a bit tough, but the third round's going to be tough anywhere.
We've talked about it all the time when you get into the postseason, no matter the sport. What kind of draw do you get? And for Carlinville, let me tell you, they are so good. I don't think it matters much who they play in the first round. You still got to go out and play the game. St. Joe Ogden is historically a very, very high-level football program, and they're one of those teams. Don't look at their 5-4 record.
Look at St. Joe Ogden next year. Because I believe they missed the playoffs last year, and this year obviously barely make it. It sounds like they're just in a rebuild right now.
Right. Carlinville is so explosive, and it's not like they are just good in one area. Or two, they're good in every area that you need to be good in, and probably better than good, honestly. I mean, they are elite offensively. They have an elite quarterback. They have elite wide receivers. They have an elite offensive line. Their defense is just wipeout. They can get the pressure with the front without blitzing. They've got the ability at the linebacker position to get there with the blitz, and then they have players in the secondary that can cover anybody, and they also have the ball skills to make game-changing plays. And oh, by the way, we heard Chad talking about their special teams. You can put their special teams play.
You heard Chad talking about it.
What did I say?
Jarrett.
Did I really?
Jarrett wasn't talking. You did.
Yes, Chad was talking about it. Yeah. Their special teams play is as elite as you're going to find anywhere in the state. Their kickoff game with their onside kicks, their punt returning with Kyle Dixon, their ability with extra points to shift wide to the left and maybe go for two. They just give you, St. Joe Ogden is going to lose a lot of sleep if that's indeed who they play in the first round, trying to prepare for this Carlinville attack, because they can beat you in multiple ways. And that's how they have had the dominating type of season they've had. Great on all three levels.
Aren't St. Joe Ogden and Monticello in the same conference? I think they are. So there might be a little bit of a... that'll be interesting if that is the draw. St. Joe Ogden.
We will know tonight. The road to Champaign, 8 o'clock right here on WQSMI FM 106. We'll talk to Chad Easterday. We'll talk to Zachary Ferguson. Get their thoughts on their first round opponents and their overall draw. The road to Champaign, 8 o'clock tonight. Here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carlinville, and Greenville. Remember, Fighting Illini football coming at the top of the hour. Illinois at Wisconsin this morning, live at 10 o'clock on WAOX 105.3, The Ox. For David, I'm Tim. We'll talk to you tonight on the road to Champaign.